Okay, so we're about to embark upon a new sigil. I don't know whether the sigil will take as long as the last one, it may, but it's also actually related really to bracha sigils. It's going to relate both to brachas and to sukkah and to hallel and to an array of different things following along the lines of what we've been talking about. And it begins with the Gemara on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara is commenting on what it said in the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us that when one recites hallel, so there were different practices, there were different customs, whether one recites a bracha after the hallel is over. Mishnah said that if you live in a place where the custom is to recite the bracha after the hallel, which is our customs, then that's great. If not, that's fine. There's no requirement to recite that bracha. It's actually similar to the bracha after the Megillah. There's also no requirement to recite that bracha. Rabbis Rivenu, it's only b'toras minug. That's why many have the practice. That minug doesn't apply b'yachidus. That a person reads the Megillah b'yachid, so then many have the practices not to recite that bracha. But getting back to the sugya of Hallel, so the Mishnah said explicitly, makom shenagu levarich yivarech. So if we pick it up on Lamed Tes and Aleph, the first one in the line is levarich, about 12 lines now from the top. Amr Abayi, lo shana la'acharav, aval lefanav mitzvah levarich. Abayi said that the only time that we speak about a voluntary or customary bracha of a Hallel, that's the bracha after the Hallel. About the fun of, but before one recites the halal and mitzvah levarach, then one is required to recite a bracha. The Amr of Yudam Ashmuel, call a mitzvah, call a bracha later of Alasi Hassan. All mitzvahs, you recite a bracha before you perform a mitzvah. I mean, it's not absolutely all mitzvahs, there are certain mitzvahs for technical reasons we don't recite a bracha on. By and large, mitzvahs require bracha beforehand, and therefore halal should be no less than that. It doesn't really matter whether halal is a mitzvah deraisa or mitzvah derabbanan, as we spoke about in the past, Machlokes Rambam and Ramban. Even mitzvahs derabbanan, we recite a bracha, even though we say Asher Kiddushanu mitzvos tzivanu, when the Gemara was perplexed in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Chaf Gimel, how can we say that if it's not min haTorah? So the Gemara says, no, it's also okay, l'sosor, we have to listen to the Chachamim. So by listening to the Chachamim haTorah and doing what they commanded us, we can also say with a straight face, Asher Kiddushanu mitzvos tzivanu. So we have no qualms, no hesitations with reciting a bracha. So when the Gemara presents to us the requirement of reciting brachas, the Gemara is very, very clear that the bracha must precede the mitzvah. That's the klal. Kol the mitzvah of baruch leyan over lasi yosan. So the basic question that we're going to raise today, which hopefully takes at least one day, one shiur to solve, maybe longer, is that this principle of kol the mitzvah of baruch leyan over lasi yosan, is this just a lechetchila that chazal misakein brachas? That's true, and everyone agrees. If you do a mitzvah without the bracha, you would still be yaitzi the mitzvah. In a sense, is this condition over lasiyosam that brachas and mitzvahs precede the mitzvah that likuva that makke b'di'evin? For whatever reason, the person ate the matzah, forgot to make the bracha, or he did the mitzvah, he said the challah, forgot to make the bracha, he can't make it up because this klal of kol mitzvahs v'brachas over lasiyosam. So the phrase over lasiyosam is part and parcel of the etzem atakana, and it makes no sense. It would be irrelevant to recite a bracha after the mitzvah is over. Is that the pshat? Or no? That overlas yosod is a lechatchila. The din is that a mitzvah is to una bracha. So you're trying to decide when is the most opportune time to recite the bracha. So lechatchila chazal mesakein to recite the bracha before you do the mitzvah. You want to recite it afterwards? Gezun date also. It's also good to the evan. So what's the nature of this klal? So again, we have one statement of Shmuel: Kol the mitzvahs kol mevarch lehen. Last two words, Ovel HaSiyosim. So if it's Ovel HaSiyosim part and parcel of the Etzem HaTakana Brichas HaMitzvahs, then it must be Ovel HaSiyosim and B'di'evet, you would not be able to recite a bracha afterwards. What do I say? No, the basic Takana is Kol Mitzvahs, Kol Mevarach Aleihem. You have to pick a bracha when you do a mitzvah. Ovel HaSiyosim is a Tanai L'chetchila. So what's the answer to that question? So one of the pivotal Gemaras is a Gemara that appears in Maseches Pesachim. Take a look at Gemara Maseches Pesach. It's actually the first part. I would be somewhat surprised if Kol HaBoker makes it to the sugya by the end of this year, just based on the trajectory that we're doing right now. But may never know. Maybe we will. But by then, hopefully, it'll be good. It'll be plenty of time. It'll be good chazar at that point. So let's take a look at the Gemara on the Zayin Amud Beis in Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara quotes a statement. It starts with the words Beirav. So it's in Zayin Amud Beis. It's about two-thirds of the way down. The first word in the line is Beirav. So Beirat Amre literally means in the Yeshiva of Rav, it was said that even though there's a rule of all mitzvahs, you have to recite the bracha beforehand. Chutz min ha-tvila v'shofar. There are two exceptions to that rule. One is tvila b'mikvah. So the bracha is not recited before. And the other is tkiya shofar. Now, in case anyone's scratching their head and trying to remember, wait a second. That doesn't sound familiar. Wait, hang in there. Don't get too excited. Wait for a moment to see what the answer to that question is going to be. But at least at this point, the Gemara presents as the two mitzvahs, two exceptions to the rule. One being tefillah b'mikvah, the other being tkiyah shofar. These are mitzvahs where the rule of avodas yasa doesn't apply. So the Gemara analyzes this statement. Bishlam tefillah. I understand what tefillah b'mikvah yakati gavra lo chazi, because the person isn't fit to recite the bracha beforehand. He cannot recite the bracha beforehand, even if he wanted to. Why not? Why in the world can't the person recite the bracha beforehand? That's a loaded statement. Hopefully that Shem will talk about this. This will probably be already into next week's part of this discussion. But I'm going to give the simplest shot, which is the view of many, many Rishonim, that the Gemara is focusing on a very specific kind of a person who cannot recite the bracha before. And if you take a look at the Tosfos al HaTvila, the Tosfos identifies who that is. Omer ben Chanan b'shem Agon, Davka b'tvilas Ger. Ben Chanan had a tradition from the Gaonim that the Gemara is talking about the Tvila of a convert. Lo chazi kadum Tvila. He cannot recite the bracha before. Lo motzi lemeimer b'tzivonu dekati nochriu. Because it's not Jewish. He only becomes Jewish after he does Tvila b'mikvah. So the Ben Chanan and the Gaonim were of the opinion that when a regular person goes to the mikvah, let's say, for example, a woman goes to the mikvah, or maybe even men, certain scenarios, would go to the mikvah, that would recite a bracha. Why can't they make the bracha before? Lamalo, they're not roy. A woman can make a bracha. So why should she make the bracha before? Like, we love the mitzvahs. But the ger, who cannot make the bracha before, because he's technically not Jewish yet, so for him, he would have to recite the bracha afterwards. So hopefully we'll see again as the sugya unfolds that there are many, many Rishonim who disagree with what I just presented right now. But at least that's what Tosfos calls the Ben Chanan. So at least I understand why Tefillah B'mikvah is the exception. But the Gemara questions, what about Shofar? El Shofar my time? What's wrong with Shofar? Baltic is Jewish. Why can't you recite a bracha on the Shofar before him? So B'chiteima, maybe Mishum Dilma Mekalkala Kia. Maybe we should be afraid he's going to mess up. He's going to be, the Baltic Chaos, greatest nightmare. He starts to blow, but nothing comes out. So that's a disaster. So not only is it very embarrassing, but it's also be a bracha batala. So maybe that's the reason why Chazal said it's better to say the bracha of the shofar after the tkiyah shofar is over. The Gemara says, if that's really the reason, yohachi afilu shchita milanami. So the guy shechts and he realizes he made a mistake. The guy does a bris, pretty bad, and then he realizes he didn't do it right. So if you're really concerned not to recite a bracha until you're sure the mitzvah was done, then there should have been a lot of other exceptions to the rule. So the Gemara says, Yitaka, right? But that reason that forced us to think that shofar, the bracha is done afterwards, is not correct. Elam Rav Chizda, we have the wrong version. Chutz min ha-tvila b'vad, that the correct statement of Rav was not to exclude shofar and tvila, but rather only tvila. And we have a b'raisa to support that. Tova v'ola, the person goes to the mikvah, again, according to Ben Chanan, let's talk about the ger, when he comes out, he recites the bracha v'ala tvila. So when all the dust settles, the Gemara sticks to its position that basically 99% of mitzvahs require the bracha to be recited before. The only exception the Gemara could even possibly contemplate was tvila, and maybe not even all tvila, maybe just tvila's ger. But short of that, so the klal sticks that kol mitzvahs v'bracha over lasiyos. So l'chora, one could still raise a major, major question. Going back to our original major question, how to understand Shabbos. Well, on the one hand, we have a rule called kol mitzvahs v'bracha over lasiyos. That's a Mefarshei Gemara in Sukkah, Mefarshei Gemara in Psachim. That's a given. Kol mitzvahs v'bracha over lasiyos. And yet we find that Chazal chiseled away in it a little bit. That there is a scenario that Chazal were willing to bend the rule, so to speak. What does that indicate to us? What can we derive from that almost like changing of the rule under extenuating circumstances? So this was a major machlokes in Rishonim. So there was one opinion in Rishonim that was the Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah was of the opinion that from the fact that Chazal do let you recite a bracha after Asiyah Son, even though it's a crazy case, it's one in a million cases, Tfilas Ger, but what would that be based on? If the rule is that l'ikuva, a bracha and a mitzvah must be said before, and to say it afterwards is a bracha levatola, so how would we ever be able to defend, ever, even in a million years, even under the most extenuating circumstances, reciting a bracha ever after a mitzvah? So for the fact that Chazal permitted, says the Ozerua, must be based on almost like a corollary of the principle of, it's like a shas of chak in the evidomi. We know that very often in halacha, things that are not usually acceptable as lechatchila behavior, which are only accepted after the fact, b'di'eved, under extenuating circumstances, you're allowed to do things b'shas adchak that you would otherwise only justify b'di'eved. But says the Ozerua, basically what Chazal are telling us is that tefillas ger is a shas adchak, because there is no other option. That's a shas adchak. B'shas adchak means there is no way to do it in any other way that's more appropriate. B'shas adchak means you're stuck, your back's against the wall. So says the Ozerua, since when it comes to tefillas ger, your back is against the wall, you have to do it, your lays breira. So shas adchak k'di'eved dami. So says the Ozerua, munach, within that halacha, that the bracha and tefillas ger can lechatchila, so to speak, take place after the tefila. So linked in that halacha, munach in that halacha, is the reality, is the understanding, that's always good b'di'eved. You make the bracha after matzah, it's also good. And after shofar, it's also good. And after megillah, and after, it's always good b'di'eved. If it wouldn't be good b'di'eved, then we would never sanction it b'shas adchak even lechatchila. So the Ozerua extrapolated from this Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, and the fact that the Gemara is entertaining possibilities of exceptions to the rule, you see clearly that the rule is not as ironclad as we thought it was, that the rule anyway can be breached. The rule anyway is only a lechachilidic rule, therefore b'di'eved or b'shas adchak, it can in a sense be violated. That was the Ozerua's understanding. However, in contrast to the Ozerua, the Rambam is very, very clear, not that way. If you take a look at those who have a Rambam in Sefer Ahava, what's in Hilchos Brachos, what's in Sefer Ahava, in Hilchos Brachos. So the Rambam writes in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Vav. The Rambam gives you a few examples of mitzvahs that if you did the mitzvah and then you woke up and realized, Gevalt, I forgot to make the bracha, there is no way to rectify it. Says the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, it was brachas halacha vav. Balam shachat b'lo bracha, eino chozer ach ha-shchita mevarach ha-shek, and shalom tzal sitzvam al ha-shchita. Cannot recite the brachas ha-shchita after shchita. Chedim kisi adam b'lo bracha, or if he did kisi adam without a bracha, can't make it up. Oh, hifrish chumum ma'isris, or chumus in ma'isris. Oh, shetovo b'lo birech, because again, the Rambam happens to hold that only tefillas ger you could do. So says the Rambam in the next halacha, halacha Zayin, Ein lecha mitzvah shemivarchin ala achas yasa le'olam, but tefillas ager. The Rambam was part of that tradition of Rabbeinu Chananah from the Gaonim, that when Chazal say that tevila, the brachas were said afterwards, that is not all the time, that is only tefillas ger. He's not Jewish yet, so he's not obligated to do mitzvahs yet. So the fikach, that person wasn't fit to recite a bracha beforehand, so he recites the bracha afterwards. So the Rambam is very, very clear that he is disagreeing with the Ozerua. The Rambam said it explicitly in Halacha Vav that not only do you have to be careful to recite brachas beforehand, even b'di'eved, you have to be careful to recite brachas beforehand. Even b'di'eved, you cannot recite a bracha after shchit, after kisi adam, etc. So according to the Rambam, how do we understand the phenomenon by tefillas ger? How can it be? If b'di'eved, the bracha is no good, so how did shas adchak justify the recitation of the bracha? So the answer is very simple. That the Rambam understood, all of those brachas were instituted by Chazal. Chazal made the rules, so Chazal could bend the rules whenever they wanted to bend the rules. So part of the original rule was, is that if you have a mitzvah that you couldn't recite the bracha, you were dochel, you were pushed away, it wasn't shayach to do it. You didn't have the ability to do it. So b'chiyagam, the Chazal said, okay, zozayin, so make the bracha afterwards. But if you had the ability to do it beforehand, and you just fell asleep, you forgot to do it, you goofed, and you did the mitzvah, then you woke up good morning an hour later, so then, even at the end, you cannot recite the bracha. So according to the Rambam, you cannot derive from tefillas ger, from bracha tefillas ger, that the general rule is that b'di'eved, everything's always hunky-dory, everything's great. No, that was a special yaitzim in a klal. You cannot derive from that anything. And the rule by all other mitzvahs is that even b'di'eved, you cannot recite the bracha afterwards. So we have a running machlokes in the Gedalia Rishonim, the Rambam, the Zeruah. What is Pshat of Agamar? When Agamar says that Kol HaMitzvos Mevarchim Obolas Yosan, is Obolas Yosan an absolute condition? Or is Obolas Yosan only Lechatchila? And that machlokes revolves around how to learn Pshat in the quote-unquote exceptional Tfilas Ger. Does the exceptional Tfilas Ger indicate to us something about the essence of the Takana that was never B'dievet anyway, if there's a Rosh Pshat? Well, no, the Tfilas Ger is the Gamri, an exception to the rule. You can't extrapolate anything and anything from Tfilas Ger. So how?
Will that be unintentional in Tilat Lulav, part of those problems?
Oh, the Tilat Lulav is going to be a loaded part. That's going to be the second half of the sugya. Maybe we even call it the next sugya. But this is setting the stage for the Tilat Lulav, but we have a long way to go. The Tilat Lulav is going to greatly complicate things. Okay?
Okay.
So how does this play out, Lamaisa? How would we paskin on the Shia Lamaisa? So there is a very cryptic Ramah in your Yerideya in the Siman about the Bracha and Shechita. In Siman Yotes, I sent it. Did everyone get it on the phones? I sent it to Mar Kamos. Did it make it through to the? So it's in those who have a Shechroch, want to look inside, they can look inside. Those who have it on the phones, look at that. It's Siman Yotes, Sif Aleph. It's a Ramah about Shechita. So first time we read the Shulchan Aruch together, start with the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Yotes Sif Aleph. So first of all, a person has to recite a bracha before they perform the shechita. Like, again, we spoke last week where the birchas hashechita is like a regular birchas mitzvah. Maybe it's a little bit different because shechita is not a classic mitzvah. That was where a lot of lumdus. But achareik klasikal, you have to make a bracha before you do shechita. Everyone agrees to that. V'mshachav al habirch k'sheira. If a person shechted and didn't recite a bracha, so then b'dieved, the shechita would be acceptable. Why does the Shulchan Aruch have to even bother to tell us that? Isn't that obvious? So the truth is, it should be obvious to us. We would think it would be obvious, because after all, that's the rule by all mitzvahs. Let's say a person blew shofar didn't make a bracha, so he's still yotzei. A person ate matzah, forgot to make a bracha, he's still yotzei. The bracha is not ma'achim in the mitzvah, that's in the first Gemara. So why in the world would anybody think that shechita would be different? So the reason why the Shulchan Aruch had to spell it out by shechita is to exclude a very, very strange source that said otherwise. Who was the other source that said otherwise? So actually, you have it on the page of the Shulchan Aruch on the printout. So you have in the Taz on the sides, you've got the Aleph. Lobir shtetasek sheira, lafuke mehilchos eldad hadoni, shehevi amordechai, she'asu ashechita bazeh. What in the world is that? Who, what, where did that come from? So there was a very interesting, was walking around Europe in the Middle Ages. His name was Eldad Hadoni. And he claimed that he was a descendant from Sheva Don. And he had some interesting things to say about a lot of interesting, about different halachos. And he had a whole series of Chumrism and Hagim, and I don't even want to call it exactly, related to Cheshchita. And the Rishonim quote them, and not quite sure what to do with them, because some of them seem to be very strange, and Hagim and Chumrism, that are not really part of Aram and Seir in any shape or form. And some of them seem to be kind of pretty powerful, maybe you can stick it into Aram and Seir a little bit. So it's a very, very unclear, it's very unclear historically who he was, where he really came from. And so, was he descended from the Sefer Shvatim? Not descended. No one was quite sure. And his shitas were not mainstream in terms of practice. And yet, somehow the Rishonim still quoted certain minhagim and certain things that appear in his works. So his sefer was actually called Hilchas Aleph Yud, which were Rosh Tevas for Amr Yehoshua, because he introduced different statements that he made with Amr Yehoshua, Amr Moshe Piyagvura. That he would like introduce like some ninug or something that as it was halacha Moshe Sinai. So the Rishonim said that there's some of the things that appear there that were clearly not halacha Moshe Sinai. He talks about certain things about the bracha, about the shechita. So the whole brachas weren't halacha Moshe Sinai. Brachas shechita was instituted by the Yashkei Sakadoyle 1500 years later. So it clearly was not exactly part of mainstream halachic work. But he was called Hilchas Aleph Yud, Hilchas Yehoshua. So it's a strange thing because the very first Taisa Maseches Chulin quotes him, but they quoted Hilchos Aleph Yud, and some people didn't understand what the Rashi Tevis were. So Hilchos Aleph Yud, so they wrote Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. So they thought it was some book written in Eretz Yisrael in the days of Rishon. It was Hilchos Ami Yeshua. So, like, for example, the very first time, the opening Taisus in the Sefer Shulchan quotes Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, Hilchos Ami Yeshua, that says that women can't shecht, that a woman is supposed to be a shechting. So Taisus writes against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Zvachim that a woman can't shecht. So Taisus says it's wrong. So he has a few different things like that. So one of the things that he writes is that if a person shecht without making a bracha, so the shechit is no good. So the Rishonim say, whatever, the shechit is no good. What's the shechit is no good? He said, if you blow shofar without a bracha yeti, matzah without a bracha yeti, put in food without a bracha yeti, so we make a taste, the shechit is no good. So the Rishonim say, we don't know what he's talking about. So we don't pass it like it. It's not shalai kalacham, some kind of a chumra minig or something, some other practice that he picked up somewhere. We don't know. It has nothing to do with our regular mainstream Masera. There is a fascinating tshuva to the Yehuda where he writes a whole tshuva trying to defend one of the shittas. He has a few of these kinds of interesting things. And the Nebuda writes in one of his shuvas, he writes a whole shibbol to try to defend one of the shittas that he presents, which is, again, not exactly mainstream. And then at the end of the shuvah, the Nebuda writes a strange thing. He writes that, he says, I gave a whole shibbol to a whole pilkul to defend this Eldon Adoni Sefer. He said, even though he writes, I don't even know why I'm spending time defending it. He said, he wasn't like part of our Messiah or shape or form. He had all kind of, different things of chumras and menhagim that no one ever else ever heard of. So he wasn't really from the Gedolia ever shown him, so what do I have to write a whole sefer, a whole troop to defend it? But he wrote anyway. It was a nice man. He wrote anyway. It was like, anyway, so that's the reason why the Shulchan Aruch felt the necessity to that. That's what the Taz writes. Because the Mordechai quotes the Eldon Adoni that if you shech without a bracha, it's no good. So the Taz says the Shulchan Aruch just wanted you to know that it's wrong. It's not mukubal halach. Anyway, strange. That wasn't what I was going to talk about. Just a little bit of a tidbit of Jewish history. Anyway, but the part that really interests us is actually the Ramah. So the Shulchan Aruch also interests us, but the Ramah is really the part for us. So the Ramah continues in Siman Yutes if Aleph. The Ramah is the following. What if a person shecht something, but before they shecht it, they realize that they may be in for trouble? Why they may be in for trouble? Because there's something about this animal that leads us to believe may have a simon treifus in it. Now, treifus is a big problem because, I mean, short of doing an MRI or an ultrasound or something on the animal, a lot of the treifus, you're not going to know until you shecht it, open it up, and investigate. But you have reason to believe that something's funny about the animals. It's walking in a funny way. Something leads us to believe there's something that may be problematic inside this animal, but I'm not going to know until after I shecht it and open it up. So what do I do? So the assumption of the Ramah is that I can't make a bracha on the shlita, because if it turns out that it's a treifa, so presumably that bracha would be a bracha levatala. Now, hold back on commenting on that statement, because that's going to be a whole other part of our discussion. But let's work with is that to make a bracha outright on a shechita, knowing that there's something potentially wrong with this animal, is not acceptable. So what do you do? So now you're in a very, very muddy position, because you want a shecht, you want to make a bracha, but you can't make a bracha. You can only make the bracha potentially after it's over. After it's over, it's too late. So the Ramah writes, no, it's okay. V'mshacha David disyala b'reyasa v'tzach b'dika. So you can't make the bracha now. Says the Ramah, that's out of the question. Says there's a suffix, a bracha levatala. If it turns out to be a treifa, turns out it really has a hole in its stomach and its intestine or something or other, it will turn out to bracha levatala. You have no choice. You can't make the bracha now. So you shecht it without a bracha. Ukshayim tzakasha, then immediately open it up and you look. And if lo and behold, the taka doesn't have any problems, yivarech ala shechita. So then you make the bracha afterwards. Adkan devar Ramah. So the Ramah just justified reciting a bracha after a mitzvah. That's what the Ramah just said. So you test if after a mashtik b'feirish that you can go ahead and make a bracha after the mitzvah is over. That's what the Ramah just said. So what conclusion should we draw from this Ramah? How should we say pshat in this Ramah? So l'chora, there are two different paths to go down in understanding what the Ramah just said. One could argue that what the Ramah basically meant to say is that we follow the Ozer rule. That kol mitzvahs mevarchim over the siyos and our Gemara is only lechetchila, and the Ozer rule is ra'ef and feels ger is correct, and shasat chakid the epidomi, and therefore any and every mitzvah you've goofed. So you did a mitzvah, you wake up 10 minutes later, you ate the matzah, you wake up 10 minutes later, you blew the shofar, wake up 10 minutes later, you can make the bracha afterwards. There's nothing unique about this case. This is an example of a case where you're going to end up by default reciting the bracha afterwards, but be'ikaron, you can make the bracha afterwards all the time. That's one way of reading Pshat in the Rama. If that is Pshat in the Rama, then it really puts the Rama in a very, very difficult position, because it would really put the Rama, in a sense, taking on the Rambam, which Rama could do. I mean, the Rama could be machri like the Azura against the Rambam, but not so partial. It's the Shach, and it's because in Gimel, is very weary to say that's the Pshat. To say that we pasken like there's a Ruah outright, and therefore by all other mitzvahs it would be so, it's hard to believe. And the truth is that the Shach's hesitation is borne out by other Ramos, namely all the other Ramos that don't say up any other mitzvah. Nowhere does the Ramon, and the best of my knowledge, in Dal Chag HaShulchan Aruch, probably Chash Bishop Ben Ezra, he wouldn't be saying it, but at least the Racham Yireh, he doesn't say that, oh, by the way, if you ate matzah and you forgot to take a bracha, go ahead and do it. If you blew shofar, Nuchas HaShana, without a bracha, go ahead and do it now. The only place tucked away at Al HaShulchan Aruch, where the Ramon says you can make a bracha afterwards, is this one Mishnah Dikah case. So what's Pshat? So the Chorah, a second Pshat the Ramon is necessary. The second Pshat the Ramon is as follows. That, remember the Gemara Pesachim of Zion. The Gemara said that you have to give it to the Gemara. Just give it 1 second. I gotta close the heater in the basement. The room starts out freezing and it becomes like a furnace. So I may have to change it back to put the heat back on in 5 minutes, but right now it says right now we're overheating, so we gotta put the coolant on. So l'chara, the other pshat in the Ramah seems to be simpler. Namely, this is like Tfilas Ger. Remember, what did we say in Pesachim Dav Zayin? We said that Tfilas Ger, when it's Iyav Shebalav Ochi, it's impossible. There's no other way to do it because the guy's not Jewish. So whatever, it's Iyav Shebalav Ochi, so Chazal or Misakein, that the bracha can be and should be and must be done, must be recited after the mitzvah. So what the Ramah is telling you is, this example of an animal that has a Sufi trapus in it is the halachic equivalent of Tfilas Ger. Since it is impossible to recite the bracha afterwards, I'm sorry, beforehand, because of technical, logistical problems. In the case of the Ger, the logistical problem is not Jewish. In the case of the Shechita, Sufi trefa, because you can't make a bracha on a Sufi trefa. So since it is just lamaisa halachic impossible to recite the bracha now, so then Zalzan, you can make the bracha afterwards. But in no shape or form does that mean for the guy who could have made the bracha before the shofar, could have made the bracha before matzah, could have made the bracha before the challah, and forgot to do so, you can make a bracha. So that's a simple pshat in the Ramah. So that's how the Shach seems to learn, because the Shach is not think we should follow the Ozer rule. The Shach thinks the Igra did is like the Rambam, but the Shach doesn't have problems with the Ramah. So the Shach was clearly learning Pshat, that the Ramon never meant to be machriya like the Urzarua. The Shach just meant to say that in this Pshat in the Ramon. So, l'chora, one could question the entire Ramon. One could maybe argue with the entire Ramon. B'tchil v'yatsoif. Maybe even the case of the Ramon is not correct. What was the source of this whole Ramah? Who was the one responsible for this shtickle Torah that if you have a suffix trefa and you can't make a bracha now, you make the bracha later? Which Rishon said it? So it's not fair to ask that question because they only sent you one page on the Ma'am Gov. You would have to turn over the Shulchan Aruch and I didn't put that second page on. But at the very end, on the neck, that was having Shulchan Aruch inside, at the top of the page, the source for this Ramah is in Orzarua. Good morning, Orzarua. That's right. Because the Yerzarua was the one who said you can always make brachas afterwards. So that's where Bikivega Tain is against the Ramah. He doesn't think the Ramah should have quoted the Yerzarua. He said the Yerzarua said if you have a Suffolk trephis, you make a brachy afterwards, Eshkoyach, because the Yerzarua said you can make a brachy after eating mats also. You make a brachy after eating glowing shofar also. But Ludidon, who don't accept the Yerzarua, we who follow Ravi Rishon, who follow the Rambam, then we would not follow this Ramah either. So now we have three possibilities, La Halacha. What to do with this scenario? What is the significance of this statement? This halacha that appears, state the fashion or months, when you test the path in your day, when you have a Sufi trefa, What's the protocol? And what is the protocol? And then what does that protocol indicate to us about our sugya? So assuming that the protocol is that you make the bracha afterwards, you have a further breakdown, therefore what conclusion should we draw? So one conclusion to draw is, well, if we make the bracha afterwards, that's a raya, we pass like the Ozeru against the Rambam. The other mahalach is to say, no, we pass like the Rambam, but this is the exception to the rule. This is like Tfilas Ger, because it was impossible before. And the third approach is to say the protocol's wrong, that we shouldn't even follow this Rambam, because the Rambam's quoting the Ozeru. The Ozeru is l'shitasai. We reject the Ozeru by all mitzvahs, and rejected by the Shechitas Treif as well. Again, you have across the spectrum as to what you think the final word should be. But again, it all revolves around Agamar. Yeah, we're just learning simply, we learned one line in Masechus. The one line in Sukkah, not even one line, two words. So we made it hinge on what's Pshat in the Gemara and Pesachim about Tfilas Ger being the exception. We identified Machlokes the Rambam and the Ozeru. We identified, we found this Ramah that at least gives you some possibility of making a bracha afterwards. We're not sure whether the Ramah meant it all the time like the Ozeru b'di'evet. We're not sure whether he meant this was the exception to the rule. And now we're not even sure that we should follow this Ramah altogether. Maybe the Kedek is right. Maybe the Ramah should work out more. Yeah, I'm sorry. So another question.
So I don't understand the comparison between the Ger in here, in the Shechita. In the Ger, we have no suffix at all. He is not Jewish. There is no bracha, so we don't. In the Shechita, we have two sfekot. One, Shema Tiyeh Lokshera, and even the knowledge that they have is a suffek. So how can they compare both of them?
No, so you're 100% right that there is a nuance of difference between the two, but I would formulate this nuance of difference slightly different. I would say that in the case of Tfilas Ger, it's always going to be this way. When Chazal sat down and listed the brachas, Chazal and Masach and Nischa brachas. So when they sat one fine day in Lishas Hagozes, we don't know, you know, someday at the beginning of Bayesheni, Anshe Knesset Gdol, Masach and Nischa brachas and mitzvahs. So when they sat down one fine day and introduced the brachas, Shek and Yishon mitzvahs, Tzor al-Ala Tvila for a ger, they realized right away, this brachas is always going to be impossible to recite beforehand. And they built into the system an exception. And they said, okay, Zolzain, let's make the bracha afterwards. But Birchas HaShechita, they didn't do that. But Birchas HaShechita, 99.99% of the time it was instituted before. You have a problem because you, bad luck, you found yourself a Suffolk Terephis. So what does that have to do with the Tachanos HaChamim? That's what Kivega's time it was. That's what Kivega thought, that we can't really follow the Ramah, because to compare the Shechita Suffolk Terepha to the Ger is not correct. To say we follow the Hagos Ashri is all, the Ozeru is also not correct. So we can make it, in effect, says it's hard for us to follow this Ramah. But you're right, there is definitely a chilik between the
two. Can you say one's a tikkun, and the other one, like you said, is built, it's the EFSHAR. The Shechita is a tikkun. So tikkun, you know,
right, that's what Kivega says, right? That's what Kivega says. Kivega says that by Birchaz Atfila, Leis Breyer, they had to be misachin it that way. If you take a look, let's see if we can just find it inside the Loshav of Kivega. I think it's on that page. Yeah, if you take a look at that, it's a Chidush of Kivega. It's on the page of the Shulchan Aruch that I sent, a very, very small, those who are either under the age of 40 or have very, very good reading glasses, which may disqualify most people on this call right now, including myself. So let's take a look at the Chidush of Kivega, the top line. Chishim tzakosh mevracha chashchita. Tamahani, lefima demasik ashach, sekot and gimel la'alocha, that the Shach doesn't think we should follow the Ozeru. Yeshloim adochnav yisudav reyuso in v'rach akarkach. He said, even in this case of the Ramah, he doesn't think it's right to make a brach afterwards. Why? The ainot daimut tfilas ger. This is not the same as tfilas ger. The amrinon kevan de meikar lo chazi lo itchei. That since in the case of tfilas ger, since you couldn't have made the brach before and therefore you can make it afterwards, the kevan de bechol ponim. By Tfilas Ger, it was never possible to say it before Zaysu Kibeger. So when the very based and sad and formulated the Nuscha Brach for Tfilas Ger, they were forced to institute it. That is the protocol. That is the only protocol for Tfilas Ger, is after the Tfilah. The takana was 99.9% of the time you're going to shech, it's going to be kosher. So you make the bracha before. And you have the bad luck of having a suffix treifa. You celebrate reyes and you have a bracha suffix. You shall become the itchi itchi. Says Rabbi Kiveger, he doesn't like what the shach seemed to be saying. The shach defends the Rambam. The shach says, yeah, we can follow the Rambam, no problems. Even though the shach thought we don't follow the Hagos Ashri. So Rabbi Kiveger says, no. If you're not going to follow the Hagos Ashri, which we shouldn't be following, then we shouldn't be following this Rambam either. So again, we have three possibilities. Either the Rambam meant straight out psak halach like the Hagos Ashri and end of discussion, or the Rambam meant that this case of Suffolk Treif is the equivalent of Tevila, or it could be Kiveger that no, that both of those tzaddim are not correct, and therefore we shouldn't follow this Rabbi. Rabbi say, let's just take a little bit of a diversion off the main part of our sugi for now, and just address one nakuda, one point that just came out of the sugi. It just came out of this Rabbi. The Rama, in quoting this, is assuming that to recite the bracha on a shechitas treifa, or for that matter, even a suffix shechitas treifa, is not even on the radar screen. You cannot recite a bracha sheki nishana mitzvah sivano ala shechita, where it's going to be a shechitas treifa. And then, since suffix bracha is lovely, you can't make a bracha on misafix, suffix bracha batala, nebuch, your hands are tied. Even if it's a suffix treifa, you can't make a bracha. But that's like the double poshadat me'ayit, that it's inconceivable to recite the bracha al hashchit on shchitas treifa. So I shteik in Ramon. That's what's yaitze ben advarim from this Ramon, from this arzaruah. So some of you may be thinking, yeah, man, that makes sense. I mean, how can you make a bracha al hashchit on shchitas treifa? Like you can't eat the animal. It's treifa. It's not kosher. How can you make a bracha al hashchit? So not so convincing. So let's take a look at the Shach on that same printout, the Shachs of Cotton Days. Umarshal Sham Simon Hay Pasuk Karashi, the Yavara Kaida Mashchita. Rashi says the whole thing is wrong. Rashi says, you know what you do when you have a Suffolk Trefa? Make the Bracha. Anyway, you know why? The Afila Mitrefa. And even if it's about the treifa, even if it turns out it's a treifa, big deal. It wasn't the bracha of Atola. To make a bracha on a shechitas treifa is perfectly legitimate. I don't think. Isn't when I shecht an animal, if the shechitas treifa, isn't it like shooting the animal in the head? Isn't that not a shechita? Says the Masha'am, no, that's not true. Those facts are wrong. Mahani la shechita, so the time of day nevela. There is a din that if an animal dies, without a proper shechita, either they died of natural causes or died of an accident, or you try to shecht and you messed up the shechita. So the animal is called a nevela. There are two halachas that emanate from being a nevela. One is it's also be'achil, also called a nevela. And number two, it's metame tumas nevela as well. It means you touch it or you move it, the type of magma masa, so you become tame, you come into contact with the nevela. If I'm an animal, that the shechita was done perfectly okay, perfectly legitimate. Turns out it's a treifa. Treifa is not a nevela. Nevela means the animal's death was brought about through a non-kosher shechita. Treifa means there was nothing wrong with the shechita. It had a hole in its stomach, hole in its head, hole in its lungs. It had something internally wrong with it. That's a treifa. Now, I'm not minimizing the issur of eating treifa. Bosom is not a treifa. It's not a nevela. It's a different issur. Mishnah says in the Maseches Chulin, the fourth parak, that when you shecht an animal, it turns out to be a treifa, it's also be a chila, right? But it's nishk nevela, it's not nevela. And therefore, it's not tame. If you touch it, minator, you don't become tame. There's no tumor. It's not nevela. It's a treifa. It's a different koshe. So what do you see from that halacha? That shechita's treifa is called a shechita. If shechita's treifa wouldn't be a shechita, so then it would be like an animal that was shot. It would be mitame tumas nevela. So says the Maharshal, he quotes from a Rashi, which was Rashi, that says that when I shecht an animal, let's say I know full well it's a treifa. Why am I shechting it? I want to practice. I'm learning to be a shechit, I want to practice. It's going to be treifa anyway, and I fear to go. I want to practice and see whether I can come to see when I'm right. Says the Rashi, you can make a bracha, m'shem malchus, shechit, shan, m'tzvei, tzvei, l'shechit. You know why? Because you're doing a shechit. If you shoot an animal in the head, you can't make a bracha l'shechit. But if you shecht the treifa, you can make a bracha l'shechit, because that is called the b'ais l'shechit. It's not matter the animal be achilah, so what? But it's still called the ma'aseh shechita vis-a-vis the tamid de nevela. So thus is a shirki dishon mitzvah mitzvah lo shechita. So shteken Rashi, so paskin the marsha. So the Ramah clearly didn't buy that. The Ramah, the whole was a ruah, the whole shekotar of the Ramah was clearly assuming that that is not correct. That if and when you know it's a treifa, the game's over. You can't make a bracha on that. Not only if you know it's a treifa, even if it's a sotia treifa, you can't make a bracha on it. Then you got to wait till later and then figure out whether you can and can't make the bracha. So what is the nekudas machlokes? What is going on here? How come? And again, this is no longer a brachas issue per se. What is going on here between the Gedalia Rishon, Rashi against Yozaru and the Ramah side against Rashi? What is going on here? Is Rashi and the Marshal right that it's a shechita? It's a shechita. Or no? Is the Ramah and the Yozaru right that no, it's not so fast, it's a shechita? L'chor Rashi is right. The facts on the ground are it's Betami de Nevil. They can't argue with the Mishnah. So why the hesitation? Why the Yozaru? Why the Ramah's hesitation? Why can't you make a bracha or shechita? It's not a shechita. So, if I say there is a Mara Mokom that at first glance seems to be very, very obscure, let me find it. And that's going to set the stage for everything that we're talking about right now. Let me just find it. It's a Rambam, yes, to those who have a Rambam in Sefer Tahara. Rambam in Sefer Tahara and Hilchos Shar Avos HaTumos. Not the most expected Maramokom for a Shir and Hilchos Brachos in Masechet Sukkah, but it's a Rambam in Hilchos Shar Avos HaTumos, Perek Beis Halacha Yud. Okay, so it's Hilchos Shar Avos HaTumos. Those we're trying to find in the Rambam. It's after Hilchos Metame Mishke V'Moshe, whether that helps you or not. Before Hilchos Tumos Ochlin, to give you a little reference point. Beis Alochiyun. So the Rambam is talking about the intricacies here of Tumos Nevela. Again, Tumos Nevela, Pesuch Nechumash, Basha Shemini, Nevela is Metame, B'Magam Maso. So the Rambam is giving you some examples of what's considered to be a nevela. So we know the animal dies on its own, it's a nevela, it gets shot, it's a nevela, it hits by a car, it's a nevela, if you shecht it and you didn't cut them with the simana properly, it's a nevela, you goofed on one of the shechita. Basically, any time the animal died, short of a kosher shechita, das is a nevela. So the Rambam writes in Al-Chayyud, shechitas nochri, nevela matam v'masa. If a non-Jew shechts an animal for us and does the right job, if he goofs up, he's no better than a Jew. But he did it right, believe it or not. He got it, he checked the Sibana perfectly, beautifully. Says the Rambam, it's a nevela, and it's metame v'masa. There's a quote right out of the Mishnah. Mishnah says in the first page of Chulin, shechitas akom nevela metame v'masa. Says the Rambam, v'afil Yisrael omid agabav, even if the Jew is watching him. So in other words, don't think the reason why it's no good is because we don't trust the guy did a good job. No, the Jew saw him doing it. V'shachet besakin yofeh, and he shechted with a good knife. Shechita karoi, everything was done. Your day up, perfect. At 100, you scored 100 plus on the shechita exam. Everything was done properly. Says the Rambam, Echad hanochri, v'echad akusi, oger teisha. It doesn't matter what kind of a non-Jew it is, whether it's somebody who's akusi, what lachli is considered to be not Jewish, or it's a ger teisha, even though he's a kabbal, not the worship of a nezara, or he's a nochri, he's still worshiping him. It doesn't matter who he is, where he is. He said, no, he's not Jewish, not kaddish, but this is Yisrael. Wasn't born to a Jewish mother or converted to halacha, he's considered to be a non-Jew, and therefore the shechita is nevela. So far, the Rambam basically hasn't told us anything we don't know already. The Rambam has quoted, literally quoting the Mishnah in Masechet Chulin. But now the Rambam makes a startling observation. The Korah Be'enai. Now, when the Rambam says the Korah Be'enai, so first of all, two things. When the Rambam introduces Be'enai, he says like near Be'enai, that means he's quoting somebody who doesn't appear in the Gemara explicitly. You should already know, already get geared up for a chiddush. It's Be'enai, that means the Rambam says, I'm the source, my eyes are the source. Karu Be'enai is the Rambam hesitating a little bit on his chiddush, saying that when the Rambam says nearly, near Be'enai, the Rambam saying it appears to me this is correct. Karu Be'enai means it's close. I think I'm right, says the Rambam. Now again, even for the, I'd be willing to bet on the Rambam thinking that he's right. The Rambam, if he didn't think he was close enough to being right, he wouldn't have put it in the Mishnah Torah. So Kar Be'enai means that I'm pretty sure I'm right, but I'm not quite 100% there. The Kar Be'enai, what's the Kar Be'enai? Sh'avzeh midivrei sefer. Says the Rambam, the tumah that such an animal has, tumas nevelas that this animal has, is not a diaraisa dikatumah. It's only a tumas nevela midirabam. But that's quite a Kar Be'enai because the Mishnah in Chul doesn't say anything like that. The Mishnah in Chul just says, Shchit is akum nevelam tam masa. When you move it, you touch it, it's tam. So the Rambam is quite a chiddush, quite a breakthrough to say that Kar Be'enai, that's only a tumah midirabam, like mechatez, it's a nevel, it's a nevel deraisa. So what's meant? Says the Rambam, but I have precedent for this idea that it's only a derabbanan tikatum. You know why? Shrei tumas avedah zara, the tumas tikrobas avedah zara, v'divreim kmo she is bayah. Says the Rambam, we have a lot of idolatrous things that spread tuma. So the moshel, if you have an idol, so an idol itself is tamei. If you have a gift that was brought to the idol, it's also tamei. So there is a concept of tumas avedah zarah. Those are sugyas in the ninth parak of Masechet Shabbos, but that's one midirabbanan. That whole parish of tumah of avedah zarah is only midirabbanan. So the Rambam says, Abba Zoi, we already have a precedent in Chazal that avedah zarah oriented things are tamei midirabbanan. Says the Rambam, that's probably why we find that the animal shechted by the non-Jew is tamei. Because it's probably smacks of avodah zarah. It's a non-Jew doing this action, slaughtering animals. That's like a very, you know, worshiping, very idolatrous kind of practice. So it's almost like we're a little bit concerned that there's a little bit of avodah zarah going on here.
But don't we have a source of Torah? But when we right after, you know, Bnei Yisrael, they had to be mitar the kalim because they were treif and avodah zarah. That's a
the kalim of Midian. They had a kasha them because of blias of Isser in them, right? And they had to be mitara them because they came into contact with tumas mace, and they had to be tovel to kalim they wanted to eat with pasuk because of tfilas kalim, but that has nothing to do with tumas of Edizor. So comes to Rambam and says that the Rambam already realizes that you're probably questioning his jump. The Rambam is jumping and extrapolating, saying just as there's a din of tumas of Edizor, so too, tumas shchitas akum was like a shtikl of avodah zarah. Why is that? Ubiglal avodah zarah nisrachku hagoyim v'nesva shchitasam. The reason why you can't eat a goy shchita is because it smells of avodah zarah, smacks of avodah zarah. That's the Rambam's suggestion to Kar Be'enai, that the whole tumah that we find in the Mishnah, lock, stock, and barrel for tumas the velus of a goyish shchita is only a derabbanan. The Rambam's not done yet. The Rambam almost uncharacteristically asked a question on himself. The Rambam, you can see the Rambam is so troubled. The Rambam, as he's writing these words, he's like sweating over the words. V'yim toimer. It's like a toisvus. V'yim toimer. You might ask, v'lami asur v'yachidu din toira. He says, what am I telling you a story that the reason why the goyish shchita is off limits is because of some kind of a chashash of a dezara? It makes it sound like some kind of a dirabbanan made up. If you're telling me the tumah is a dirabbanan to ketumah, it sounds like it's something that Chazal made up. Not true. You can't eat him in the Torah. So it's a nevela deraisa. So the Rambam asks him, Torah, and said, what am I walking this tightrope for? What am I telling you this story for? But obviously the Yisrachim was deraisa. Everybody knows that. So the Yisrachim was deraisa. Doesn't that mean that it's a nevela? If it's a nevela, so does that mean that it's tamei tumas nevela min haTorah? No, says the Rambam, not true. So now the Rambam is forced to draw a distinction between the Isser Achivas nevela and tumas nevela, and love of deraisa. The Rambam, by creating this category of tumas shchitas akum min derabbanan, notwithstanding the fact that the Isser Achivas nevela of shchitas akum is deraisa, the Rambam is forced to do something that there's going to require acrobatics over here. I thought there's one standard of nevela. Nevela means, was the shchita good or the shchita no good? Just to answer the question, Rambam says, no, it depends. It was good vis-a-vis tuma minat tumra, and therefore the stack of no tumas develop the rice, and the whole tuma that we find for shechita zach was all the rabbanat achshash of vidazara. But that same shechita that a second ago we just said is basically passes as a kosher shechita vis-a-vis tuma, fails us as a shechita vis-a-vis achila. So you can see the Rambam is very disturbed. So the Rambam answers and says, the answer is, lo kol ha'osa bi'achila metame. Says the Rambam, not everything that's osa bi'achila is automatically metame. So yes, there's an isra achilas shchitas akam deraisa, but no, there's no tumah shchitas akam deraisa. So the Rambam knows you're going to challenge him on that one. The Rambam, in order for the Rambam to be able to present this split, has to give you a precedent in halacha. You can't just stop make this up because it doesn't seem to fit into the pattern of Hilchos Neveilos. Until I read this Rambam, I was sure that either yeh nevela or nish nevela, either it is nevela, it's not nevela, vein the echil, vein the two, but the split between the two is inconceivable. And the Rambam's claiming, no, it's conceivable and it's true. Says the Rambam, here's my proof. Leikala asa be'achila metame, shere treifa asuro tahira. A treifa, an animal that was shechted, that has a hole in its heart, is also be'achila deraisa. That's not metame. It says the Rambam, just as shechitas treifa is not metame, even though it's also be'achila, so too shechitas akum is not metame. Even though it's also b'achila. That was the Rambam's motion. Then the Rambam concedes that he thinks this is right. He's willing to hear that somebody would argue. The Iyam Shalachat Chorus al Tumazu al Bias Mikdash Rechaz Kadosh al Baraya Brura. The person who touched a Shechitas Akum, touched an animal shechted by a goy, and then entered into the Beis HaMikdash, or a kachim, which would normally bring with it a chiv kares, which have done b'shege, would require a kavod chatas, says the Rambam, I'm not convinced we would pass it as chiv kares. I'm not convinced he would bring kavod chatas, because if he's only talking about the Rabbana, you don't bring kabbalas for Yisurim the Rabbana. So says the Rambam, if you want to argue with me, maybe, you better bring a raya brewer statement. Better bring a good proof. Not a shracha, but a good proof to this way. This proof. Ad kandilera. So the Rambam just made an equation on the board. We had a board, we wrote an equation on the board. The Rambam just said, I am searching high and low in halacha for a shechita that's good enough to be mitahar min dein avela, min haTorah, but not good enough to be matah b'achila, because that's where I want shechita zakum to fit into that pattern. And the best the Rambam could come up with is shechita treifa. But basically, what's the kasha? Multi-dibulin kasha. What's the cash in them? Is this a good model or a very, very, very poor model? The Rambam is searching for something that's going to indicate to us that the Shechita works for Tuma and not for Issa. That's the goal of the Rambam. That's the challenge of the Rambam. In Shechita's Treifa, the Shechita worked totally. It worked for the Achila also. The reason why you can't eat that treifa is not doing the vela. You can't eat treifa because it's a separate issue before the answer. The bus was on the treifa was a chelu. So how in the world does the fact that treifa meets that model of being also be a chelu without tuma, how does that shed light on what the Rambam is trying to prove? The Rambam is trying to prove that shchitas goy is not a shechita vis-a-vis machalos asuris, but it is a shechita vis-a-vis tuma. And the raya is from shechita streifa. No, not a good raya. Shechita streifa is not a good shechita bein le'chis, yisrachila bein le'tumas nevelas. The only reason why you can't eat a treifa is for a zaitik is in, for a din study, a tangential is to call treifas. What does that have to do with shechita? That's a difficulty. That's a pelagodal in this rabbi. What was the marshal of the rabbi? The rabbi's marshal is so flawed. So the only way to defend this Rambam is to go back to the drawing board and figure out what's the nature of this din of Shechitas Treifa. There's something in between the lines of Shechitas Treifa that has to be analyzed. So hopefully we're going to try to go one step further next week to extract what the Rambam meant with this mashal And this marshal is going to set the stage for understanding this machlokes Rashi and the Ozaru and the Ramah in terms of can you or can you not justify reciting a bracha on a shechitas trefa. We shouldn't have any chalishas adas from the sugya, but I'll share it with one piece of information. I shouldn't cause anyone to feel bad, but the one who discovered, so to speak, this Rambam and raised the challenge of this Rambam and came up with a gewaldige chiddush shtikl Torah as to what the Rambam, the godless, the amkus, the pearls behind this Rambam's mashal were, was none less than Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim Brisker read every Rambam, Rambam's Anuch HaShara, Mr. Tumas also, and realized this problem in the Rambam and came up with the solution in the Rambam. Wow. Okay, so Reb Chaim, we're going to go to Reb Chaim. This is Reb Chaim's Bar Mitzvah Pshetel. This is what he said on his own, in his own Bar Mitzvah. He said a pshat of beer in this Rambam. I'll bet you next week. We'll be Zeichen. Be Zeichen here, Reb Chaim's Bar Mitzvah Pshetel is also there. Okay, I'll bet you next week. Continue. Try to connect the missing pieces.